Hey guys, Tyson Johnson here with the Six Pack Dad Tribe. These are the interviews that we look forward to as podcasters all along the way, being able to bring on a successful client and let them share their story and offer insights. So I'm really excited today to have David McKnight on the line. You'll find him to be a successful working professional and a dad and just a really dynamic guy. So David, please say hello.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Tyson, for having me on. And of course, for all your help. I've owe a lot to the Six Pack Dad Tribe so far, and I'm looking forward to a great journey.
Absolutely. And this is a little intimidating because I'm a newer podcaster, and David, I look up to him. He has his own podcast. We'll get into that maybe towards the end, but he could definitely show me a thing or two about how to podcast, but I'll do my best here. So, David, why don't we kick it off? Go ahead and just introduce yourself, family, work, hobbies, age, and as much or as little as you want to share. Love to the audience.
Sure. Yeah. Better. You bet. Name is David McKnight. graduated from BYU back in 1997. I'm 47 years old. I've got seven children. I've been married to my wife for about 20 years, and I've been in the financial services industry since about 1997. I'm probably best known for my book, The Power of Zero, which I wrote back in 2014, which talks about the likelihood of dramatically higher taxes in the future and what retirees and pre-retirees can do to prepare themselves for that eventuality. Actually just this week we launched my follow-up to that book. It's called Tax-Free Income for Life. And so, I do a lot of speaking, I do a lot of writing, and I have, an organization of about 250 advisors who use my sales principles. And, we live as a family here in Puerto Rico. And so we're just really excited to be here. We're really excited to be talking to you today.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. So, and I told David, he is welcome to give us kind of a taste test as what he does professionally. And so he has my full authorization to do that. So, let's kind of start with the fitness journey. I had proactively reached out to you, and apparently it was a message that caught your attention. And about 2 months ago, you and I started working together. Do you mind telling the audience just a little bit about your background as it relates to health and fitness, and maybe why you joined the tribe?
Sure. Like many of us, I was a lot lighter in high school than I am right now. I'm about 6'3", and in high school I was about 175 to 180 pounds. And we all know that as time wears on, we pick up weight and we fill out a little bit, and that happened to me. But you sort of get to this point where you know, in high school, you can eat pretty much whatever you want, and your metabolism is so crazy on overdrive that you don't gain any weight to show for it. And the problem is, as we move forward in life and we continue to eat based on those same habits, our metabolism slows down and you start to pack on the pounds, and you just get to the point where, you know, I've tried everything over the years. I mean, you name it, I've tried it. I could tell you the basics of just about every diet out there because I've tried it, and I usually have some success. I really, you know, just got to the point where I said, hey, if I can stick at 230, I'll be pretty happy, because I had a really, really hard time getting past 230 pounds. I was, you know, 230, 237, something like that. And I'd go on a diet, I'd get down to about 230, and then I'd revert back to my old habits and get back up to 230, 237. And so when Tyson contacted me, I said, look, what do I have to lose here by having someone hold my feet to the fire and really give me some coaching on how to punch through that 230 pound level? And now I'm at about 218, and I'm plateauing a little bit. So Tyson, I'm going to need your help to help tighten things up so I can punch through the 215 barrier and really get down to 200, which is where I really want to be. But man, I haven't seen results like this. I mean, I'm as light as I've been in 20 years. I mean, I think that I was about this weight when I got married, and I haven't been this light since. So obviously, Tyson, you have introduced into my life a formula that is working. And so I'm going to keep keep running with it here.
Okay. So I'm going to deviate from our sort of penciled in agenda a little bit, because we need to pause here and shine the spotlight back on David for a second. So yes, you're signed up for our one-on-one coaching. Yes, you have the course and the community, and we've worked closely together. But just to compliment you for a second, and this is going to lead to a question, David has executed like amazing, as good as any other client in the program, just taking the information and going and doing it. And I've really admired that about you, because for a lot of us, you know, we're breaking lengthy habits and you've just gone out and done it. Yes, we're only 2 months in. It'll be fun to maybe have you back on at your 6 month mark and year mark, et cetera, if you're willing. But tell us, both for those in our tribe who are going to listen, who are doing the program, and for people who aren't in the program and are experiencing the roller coaster, like mentally, how have you done this so well over the last 2 months? Because it is unique.
Well, I think it's, I've settled into a routine. Number one, it's incredibly important in my mind to document everything that I eat in the diary. And then Tyson, of course, you are able to access that on the MyFitnessPal app. So just knowing that Tyson has access to that has been really, really helpful. But, you know, I've really settled into a routine that has become a habit. And I'll tell you exactly what I do. I wake up every day and I have a shake. It's an Orgain shake. When I put a little bit of peanut butter powder in there with some spinach, and I put a few supplements in there, and I grind it all up, and that's what I have for breakfast. And that usually carries me through until lunch. Sometimes I'll supplement mid morning with a Robert Irvine bar if I get if I get hungry. But I notice that if I wait until about 8 o'clock when I start that shake, that's plenty to get me by until noon. And then this is going to seem unusual, but at noon, this is what I have for lunch. I have a steak. And so I have no problem paying good money for good quality meat. So I have a New York strip. I probably have, gosh, I think it's 4 to 6 ounces, something like that, every lunch. And the protein, I haven't gotten tired of it after 2 months. I mean, I look forward to my lunch every day. And it keeps me full. I don't have that huge, you know, increase in my blood sugar that comes crashing down mid-afternoon. So I usually will have, you know, either a Robert Irvine bar or something else to carry me over to dinner time. And then in dinner time, you know, what I used to do is I would simply eat whatever I wanted. And if I just kept eating until as long as the food tasted good, until like I couldn't possibly squeeze any more in. And I've sort of gotten into the habit where I simply eat one helping, which is about half of what I normally eat. So whatever my wife cooks, I'm not going to tell her to cook a different meal for me, but whatever she makes, I eat about half as much as I normally do. And then Tyson has often ribbed me about this, but afterwards, after I eat that, I have precisely 5 Oreos, and I have precisely 5 Oreos. Lately, we ran out of Oreos, so I've replaced it with some other things, but precisely 5 Oreos, and that sort of puts a bow on the day, and I stop eating at that point. It's almost like that the Oreos are that reward for having eaten well during the day, and that sort of marks the end of eating for the day when I've eaten that last Oreo. And that is literally what I've done, and it's become an ingrained habit. And I've got to the point where, I went from about 237 pounds down to about 216, and now I'm back up to 218. So like I said before, I'm plateauing a little bit, which means I'm going to have to nip and tuck here and there on what I'm eating. And with Tyson's help, I'm sure that's possible. But that's what I've done to get to where I am. And I've coupled that with really following the exercise regimen that Tyson advocates, which is cardio every other day and then weightlifting every other day, alternating between upper body and lower body. and that's been great. I did that right up until I got shingles about a week ago. And so that's taken me out of my exercise routine a little bit, but It seems like it's getting better. So I'm getting ready to jump right back into it.
So I hope that people who are listening, there's probably a lot of what you shared that may have escaped some, but you just covered a wide variety of, it was fun to hear you verbalize that. I heard a lot of science come out of your mouth, and a lot of people, they don't even maybe realize how powerful that is, but you're down 20 pounds. It's 2 months. You talked about being full and satisfied, which is like a secret weapon. If you can be full and satisfied and lose weight, that is like beautiful. You talked about protein, which, you know, in the tribe, we teach how that forces your metabolism to elevate. That's called the thermic effect. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but also even enjoying some dessert along the way, like what type of programs are promoting that? So it was fun to hear you share that openly and letting out all your secrets like that. Because this can be an enjoyable process. It can be a lifestyle. When you're not, you know, having to give up everything that and have it run your life, et cetera. So I was really, thank you for sharing that. You mentioned shingles, and when we have a published author who has hundreds of agents, so to speak, people can easily read between the lines on that and know you're a busy, successful professional. So time constraints, health problems, the aging process, like you're dealing with obstacles that all of us in the tribe and our listeners are going through. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about, over the last 2 months, any other obstacles you feel you maybe encountered, if any, and how you've worked through that?
One of the obstacles is I sort of settled into this routine where I'm losing weight all throughout the week, and then I take Friday as a free day. And there was one Friday where I gained 4 pounds. I mean, if it moved, I ate it. I mean, I went to, you know, Firehouse Sub. I went out to eat with my wife. I ordered a big dessert, because this sort of harkens back to the, you know, the Bill Phillip diet of the late 90s, early 2000s, where you get a free day. And sure. So what I was doing was I was taking a free day at the end of the week, and I was literally erasing all of my gains. And then I would take 3 days to get back to square one and then start losing weight again. And then so I soon learned that having, you know, a smorgasbord on Friday was okay within reason, because I really got tired of erasing all of my losses because of that free day. So that has been an obstacle that I've learned to deal with. Shingles, yeah, I mean, I'm a week into it. Sometimes they say that goes a lot longer. It was a real obstacle when we ran out of Oreos, frankly. Anyway, I had to find a way to sate my sweet tooth in a different way. So I'm pressing my wife hard to get more Oreos, because that really was a great little thing I had going on. But so far, it's been pretty good. I have to content myself when there's some weeks where it seemed like I did everything I was supposed to do and I didn't lose the type of weight that I wanted to. But that's how it goes. Your weight doesn't always go down in a straight line. And you know, I'm just going to keep dancing with the girl I brought to the dance and keep doing exactly what I did to get myself here. And hopefully I can get down to 2000 in, you know, in another 2 months. So 2,200.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. You mentioned your wife and at the beginning, you have a large family. You're down 20 pounds. You and I both know that this journey is not about pounds lost. There's a lot of things that happen in addition to weight coming off, and how that can lighten up life, how that can affect us emotionally, confidence, things like that. Just curious, it might be premature for me to ask at this point, but I'll ask anyway. Just any things that your family has shared with you, or non-weight victories, so to speak, on how maybe this is influencing other aspects of your life?
That's a good question. They certainly have made comments about how skinny I look, about how loosely my clothes fit. I seem to have a lot more energy. They seem to be able to look right through my beard into claim that I am actually reclaiming my jawline, which has been one of my goals all along. They look at me and it just looks like I'm a lot healthier than I used to be. So that definitely all sorts of positive repercussions that stem from all of this.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I want to make sure you have a chance to, I've listened to your podcast and was amazed at just the brevity and the value you provide on there. And I want to give people a taste test, if you don't mind, of a few nuggets there. But before we shift gears a little bit off of this topic, this has been great. Any other, I guess, final lessons learned or advice that you would want to impart as someone who probably has every reason not to have done this 2 months ago, yet you've chosen to, you're making this happen, you're executing, it's working. Like lessons learned, advice for people if they're thinking about this journey or if they're already on the journey, words of encouragement, just anything you want to share there.
Well, I think I really do think that the accountability is key, and that I have gotten into the habit of documenting everything that I eat, even when I have a bad day and I'm ashamed of what I ate, right? Knowing that I am accountable to you and that you are looking at everything that I'm eating, that in the back of my mind plays a role. And there's just no two ways about it. So knowing that I've got a coach that's there, and you've made yourself available, I can text you, I can call you, I can Marco Polo you whenever. That's been fantastic. And so really getting into the habit of documenting everything that goes into my mouth makes me more conscious of everything that I eat, and knowing that that you're going to be looking at it and checking in on me periodically helps really, you know, in a sense, keep my feet to the fire. So that's a real key. And we've often heard it said that it's almost impossible to lose weight if you're not tracking. I remember I used to be in Weight Watchers. They said the people that track their food lose 3 times as much weight as the people who don't. And so that has really been a key for me, tracking my food. And I just noticed on my little app said, congratulations, you have, you've tracked your food for 58 straight days or something like that. So that tells you it's become an ingrained habit. And I think that's part of why it's working.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. Well, awesome. So let's shift gears. Thanks for all that you've shared already. Let's talk a little bit about, knowing that our audience are working professionals, knowing that the tax clock is ticking, so to speak, knowing that wealth generation and retirement is, frankly, even on someone like my mind in my late 30s and wanting to invest and be wise about what I do with savings and that. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about what you do professionally, and where this is going is maybe a few nuggets that you would want to share as an introduction to your podcast, your book. I just think that there's some lessons that people, they need to know who you are and what you do, because you're a great resource.
Sure. Yeah. So prior to COVID-19, I did about 90 speaking engagements per year. And I was speaking to members of the general public all across the United States. A lot of financial advisors hire me because they read The Power of Zero and they feel like it's an impactful message. And to give you an idea on the basic message of The Power of Zero, we believe that based on the fiscal trajectory of the nation, the tax rates, even 10 years from now, will be dramatically higher than they are today. And that's because of unfunded obligations like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the national debt that are just, you know, driving our fiscal condition to unsustainable levels. And, you know, when I give these presentations all across the country, I will ask rooms full of people, how many of you believe that tax rates in the future, even 10 years from now, will be dramatically higher than they are today? And every hand in the room goes up. They all believe it. And then I ask a follow-up question, which is, how many of you have the lion's share of your retirement savings positioned in tax-deferred vehicles like 401ks and IRAs? Every single hand in the room goes up. So what I've noticed is that there's a massive disconnect between what people believe about the future of tax rates and what they're actually doing about it. So what I found is that there's an audience for people who believe that tax rates are going up that want to reposition their highly taxable tax-deferred retirement vehicles like 401ks and IRAs to tax-free investments. And so what I do and what I teach my advisors that I work with to do is to strategize with people on how to best reposition those tax deferred assets to tax free. That's what this book is about. And the follow up, Tax Free Income for Life, that's what that book is about as well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So any, just to, I guess, whet people's appetite, I mean, they could read the book, they can listen to your podcast, books, I should say. But anything else, I guess, a few pieces of wisdom, or you could probably talk for hundreds of hours on this, but any other nuggets that you would want to share for those higher income working professional dads who will listen to this and, okay, cool, that makes a lot of sense, so what do I do?
Yeah, I think that my one little piece of advice is that we be much more intentional about where we invest our retirement savings. Sometimes we invest in our 401ks and IRAs reflexively. It's easy to do. They take it right out of our paycheck and it's out of mind, out of sight. It sometimes takes a little bit more effort and a little bit more proactivity to invest in the tax-free bucket. But what I would tell you is that there's three basic retirement, three basic types of retirement accounts. In my book, The Power of Zero, I talk about them in terms of buckets of money, taxable, tax deferred, tax free. In a rising tax rate environment, and we are in a rising tax rate environment, we have to have precisely the right mathematical amount of money in each of those first two buckets. And anything above and beyond the perfect mathematical amount in those first two buckets needs to be systematically repositioned to tax-free. There's a lot of details that go into that, and you can find out about those in any of my books. But just to be more conscientious, more intentional about where we're investing our retirement dollars.
Yeah, that's great. So if someone listening to this has interest in, they can go to Amazon, find your book, any other places you'd recommend, like a website or just to reach out and learn more?
Yeah, if they want to reach out and learn more about how to implement these strategies in their lives, they can just go to davidmcknight.com and we can connect them with, you know, one of our qualified and vetted and trained Power of Zero advisors in their area. I'd be happy to work with you.
Awesome. Well, David, thanks for, I understand this is you wrapping up a very busy week, and yet you chose to be on here away from your family when you've been gone a lot and just battled through shingles and things. So really appreciate your generosity, excited by your story and what lies ahead. And onward and upward, my friend, keep it up.
Thank you, Tyson. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, you bet.